Blog Talk Radio.
From out there in the world, this is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.
It's chaos time and my time is shining. Say what I want to say, if you don't like it, then I'm going to say it anyway.
You go to church. When you feel like that's where you want to be, that's where you be. So I don't see where you're coming from when you're saying what I should have known.
Welcome everyone, and welcome to Spiritual Sense Live Radio Podcast. I'm your host tonight, Tim the Overseer. Hopefully you all are doing well, and again, welcome family, love, peace, joy, and blessings to everyone. Hopefully you have all had a blessed and wonderful week, and most of you, hopefully you all are enjoying your day, and I'd just like to take this time out to express gratitude to our Heavenly Father. Boy, I'm thankful for another blessed day. I'm thankful for you all, your life, your soul, health, and strength. Thank you for your time. I know it's very important to spend time with family and loved ones. We're going to go ahead and get into the word today. And before we do, I just want to go ahead and express gratitude real quick, just by saying thank you, Heavenly Father, for another blessed day. Thank you for my life, my soul, my health, my strength. Thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon me, my wife and children, family, friends, and loved ones. Thank you for a roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, and food on my table. Thank you for my finances. Thank you for my opportunities in life. I thank you for every blessing. I thank you for every trial and tribulation as well, for it has come to make me stronger. And I thank you for life itself. I thank you most of all for your son, his sacrifice for my soul and for so many around the world. And in the past, the sacrifice of your son to redeem man back to you, Heavenly Father, in bringing us salvation and eternal life. I'd like to take this time also to thank Chaos Talk Radio and Derek Oliver for this opportunity and for this platform to share and so that we may get out the gospel and the word and also teach more on salvation and love. I'm also on Spiritual Sense Life. I'm on podcasts on iTunes, so if you want to take some of my sermons and some of my shows with you, if you're working out or just, you know, driving, commuting back and forth to work, you can also download some of those or just simply just sign into iTunes. And again, it's under Spiritual Sense Life on iTunes podcast, okay? And so with that being said, I want to just, again, thank each and every one of you for another Daily Bread message this week and more spiritual food for the soul. And hopefully you all will get something out of this lesson today, this teaching. We're actually going to be talking about the great judgments and rewards. And I know last week we talked about, I just freestyled last week. So just kind of talked about the great commission of Christ and how he has commanded us to spread the gospel and teach the word. And this is what we're supposed to be doing in season, out of season, is to continuously show love and grow the kingdom of heaven. And that is our motive here at Spiritual Sense Life. And also, I enjoyed the other days here on Chaos Talk Radio. I enjoy the other shows, the other ministers, and that are on the shows each day of the week. I really enjoy them as well. So it's a good thing. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into it. Before I do, I'd like to say a prayer. So let's go ahead and say the prayer. But I'd also like to read to you the scriptures of love written by Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and the entire 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So let me start reading. It says, "But cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeking not our own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the grace of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, our soul, our health, our strength. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the opportunities of life, dear Heavenly Father. In fact, we thank you for our life itself. And most of all, we thank you for salvation, Heavenly Father. We thank you for sending your Son, dear Heavenly Father, that he made the ultimate sacrifice in which we could not accomplish as men, dear Heavenly Father, to live a righteous, perfect life. And we thank you for your Son and his great sacrifice, dear Heavenly Father. For you knew, dear Heavenly Father, that we were not able to do it. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this word, and we thank you that we put away all flesh and that we get into the spirit so that we may hear your word, dear Heavenly Father, that we may be blessed on high, that this may be spiritual food for the soul, that we may grow, dear Heavenly Father, in our daily walk with you, Spirit. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right, so with that being said, I also want to mention that we're going to start in Revelation next week. We're going to start teaching the book of Revelation. I don't see any reason to delay it any longer, so I'm just going to go ahead and start teaching on Revelation next week. So just make sure that you do continue to tune in weeks to come, and we'll get into Revelation. But as for today, again, the sermon title is The Great Judgments and Rewards. And the previous week, we talked about where you go when you leave this world, okay? I believe that when you pass away in this life, in this natural life, your spirit, your soul goes somewhere, okay? So now we're going to deal with the great judgments. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Start at verse 9. We're going to go through verses 9 through 15, and then we're going to look at some supporting verses as well. And so let us go ahead and get started. So verse 9 reads, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Okay? In fact, let me go up a few verses. I just thought about something in studying and reading this context from some time ago. Let me go ahead and include in this. I'm going to go all the way up as far as the fourth verse. I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to really break them down, but I'm going to go up as far as the fourth verse. So, again, 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, we're going to look at verses 4 through 8, and then we're going to break down verses 9 through 15, because I think it's very important that we add the previous verses into this context, okay? Verse 4 reads, it says, "For while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man." Paul is giving the example for us not to be high-minded or to get beside ourselves, because sometimes, you know, people like to say, and he's referring to the church of Corinth, because some people, you know, that it kind of causes divisions, and this is what you see. You see a little bit of it in today's world and in today's time, where you see a lot of different denominations and a lot of different religions have branched out under the banner of Christianity or believers. And this is what Paul is saying, you know. He's saying, you know, what is, he said, "I am of Paul." Another say, "I am of Apollos." But then he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers?" And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter if you're under my ministry, if you're in a different ministry, you know, I'm just a man. I'm just a tool ready to be used. That's all I am, you know. And I tell people, no, don't look at me as anything else, okay? I am man. I'm human. I'm subject to fail. I am not the Christ, okay? All I'm here to do is to give you the word, give you what the Holy Spirit has given me to give to you for your soul salvation and ultimately for salvation. Now, I'm going to read what verse 6, 7, and 8 says. Now, watch this. It's very important what Paul says in verse 6. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see that, family? Who gave the increase? God gave the increase. So understand that when we are preaching and teaching, you know, the Bible also says, it talks about how over in Acts, says how Yahweh, how he adds to the church daily. It's not what men do. We're just vessels ready to be used. We're doing our reasonable service. But it is the Heavenly Father that always gives the increase that grows each and every one of us, what, spiritually. Okay? It says in verse 7, so then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gave it the increase. See? So I'm not anything. I don't boast. I don't want any glory. Don't give the glory to me. All glory be to the Most High. He receives all honor and power and glory. Even the angels in heaven recognize that. There are angels in heaven, and I'm going to get into this in, as I teach the Revelation. There's a scripture over in Revelation where it talks about how the angels, how all they do all day long is worship and praise the Heavenly Father all day long for all eternity. That's all they're doing. They never get bored. They never get tired. They just praise him all day long. Why? Because he's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of all the glory and all the praise, okay? Because they know how good he is. And that's very, very important to note. Now, verse 8 says, and it says, now he that planted and he that watered are one. So it doesn't matter what Paul is saying. It doesn't matter what branch of service you are in the ministry. We are all one, okay? If you're healing, if you're teaching, if you're speaking in tongues or, you know, whatever your gift is in the ministry, we are all one. One is not better than the other. If you have the knowledge of the word, okay, I'm no better than anyone. I don't proclaim or profess to be, okay? I just do what I've been given to do, and that's what's most important to me. And that should be what's most important to you. If he gives you a ministry where you sing, or maybe you go and you bake and you make food for those who need something to eat, that's your ministry. My ministry is no better than yours, okay? And we should not get into little battles and cliques and think that we're better than anyone, okay? So moving forward into what Paul is saying in verse 9, okay? He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, okay? So who do we belong to ultimately? We all belong to the Heavenly Father, whether you are non-believers or believers. We all belong to him. Whether you choose to live for him or not, we belong to him. And this is why the Bible says over in Revelation that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So whether you choose to believe him or not, in the end, you're going to acknowledge, you're going to recognize the Son in the end. I say, why not make it easy and go ahead and do it now? Okay, so there'll be some good things coming to you. Now watch what it says over in verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Okay? So we are to be wise in our walk with Christ, okay? We should structure our time and make sure that we are giving our time back to the Heavenly Father, okay, as believers. Take some time out to read your Bible and to read your scripture. Take your time to show love to someone, to teach the word. Teach it to your children, you know, if you don't know anyone else to teach it to. Teach it to your children, you know, show love to your children, to your family, your friends, your loved ones. Teach what you know and what you can. I know that I've said before that I use a children Bible, you know, as one of my study references. That's a way for you to learn. You know, I don't use it as much anymore, hardly at now, but early on I used to use a children's Bible. And I highly recommend that if you're having some difficulties with interpreting the word, that you use, there are many different books out there to help you out, okay? So now we're going to go ahead and get into some supporting scriptures. And one scripture that I want to call out is Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1. In fact, it's going to be Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3. But for the sake of time, of course, I'm not going to read all those verses. I'm just going to deal with verse 1. So Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3. I'll let you read verses 2 and 3. I'm just going to read verse 1 for today, okay? This is what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." It's important that we understand what Paul is saying here. So at the immediate point in time when you receive salvation, when you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you are instantaneously, faster than lightning, you are saved that instant. Okay? And what Paul is saying, at the instant that you become saved, there is therefore now what? No condemnation. So the root word of condemnation is condemn. In other words, you are no longer condemned. So when you are judged, when you stand before the Bema seat of Christ, that's what it's called. When we was in seminary school, they used to teach us, it's called the Bema seat. And I don't want to get into it. I'll let you kind of do your research on the Bema seat. That means the judgment seat of Christ. When we go before Christ, he's going to judge us as believers, okay? Now, make sure you understand this. We're going to be judged. It's believed that we're going to be judged, okay? And I know that people debate over this, but this is what I believe, that once Christ come back to get the church, when he raises them from the dead, we're talking about at the great gathering. Some people like to call it the rapture. I don't like to call it the rapture because the rapture is not in the Bible, but I call it the gathering together of the saints, okay? This is the church age saints. This is the saints that died since the time of the day of Pentecost all the way up until today, present. When Christ returned to get the church, we're going back to be judged, okay? And so when we are judged, we stand before Christ. This is the beautiful thing about our judgment. Our judgment is not unto condemnation. In other words, Christ is not going to look at Tim and say, "Tim, you know, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that?" Okay? The judgments are going to be what you did that was good, I can reward you on that. What you did that was bad, I can't reward you on that. But there's no condemnation. That is huge for us as believers. See, he took away the sins of the world. See, he took care of that. Okay? He died for my sins. There's no need to bring it up and bash me for it when I stand before him. That's not what our judgment is about. Our judgment is about rewards, what you're going to receive in the afterlife, in the eternal. Because now you live for me, you've worked, you've taught people, you spoke the word, you showed love, I'm going to bless you for that. And for the time that you didn't walk in love, I can't bless you for that. See, at this point in time, you probably did something that was unseemly or something that you just wasn't walking in love at this point in time. But he understands, because why? He was also man, right? He came through this world as a man, okay? And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. I'm going to show you some scriptures on why he's going to judge us. And the Most High, the Heavenly Father, is not going to judge us. But Christ is going to judge all of man, okay? There's a reason that he's going to judge and his Father's not going to judge. But I want to finish Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1, okay? It says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit," okay? He's talking to the believers. Because we walk after the what? Spirit and not after the flesh. Meaning that I don't desire to do the things that I used to do over 20 years ago. Okay, when I was younger, when I was a young man, I desired to do a whole lot of things. But you don't have those desires no more. You don't want to do those things. Okay, even though it doesn't mean that those things completely leave your mindset. Okay, you still challenge. I tell people I deal with the same challenges that a non-believer deals with every day of my life. But I have to make a choice, a decision, not to do those things. See, what people must understand, I'm just going to touch on this real quick. I'm just going to give you the scripture, and you read it on your own. Romans, the 6th chapter, 1 and 2, where Paul talks about your salvation is not a license to sin. Think just because I tell you that once you're saved, you're always saved. People think, well, you're saying that I can go do what I want to after I sin. I said, I've never said that. That's what you said. But let me say what I said so you'll understand. I say what the Bible says, and I teach what the Word says, okay? And so what you have to understand, this is not a license to do what you want, okay? But we are taught and trained to live for who? The Most High, okay? We are to walk in the Spirit Adam, this is with this context of Romans, the 8th chapter. Read Romans, the 8th chapter, all the way up to verse 17, and you'll see where he talks about not walking after the flesh, but walking after the Spirit, not to be carnally minded, okay? Now, just because I'm saved don't mean that I'm just going to go back to doing whatever I want to. Oh, I'm saved. No, it's not how it works. This is why the Holy Spirit instantaneously, as soon as you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Holy Spirit hits you faster than lightning. He indwells you, and now you are part of the Most High for all eternity. You now are officially His. You belong to Him. And you'll see once we get to teaching in Revelation how there's going to be a mark on you to let you know that you belong to Him. Hey, I like that. I don't know about you, but I don't have no problem with that. People putting all these demonic tattoos on their body and everything, they don't know what that stuff means. I may get into that one day and teach you about that. So, you know, if you have tattoos, you may want to have a second thought about getting them, because if you learn and read the Old Testament, that was something that the believers, the children of Israel, was told not to do, is to make markings in their flesh or on their flesh. Okay? We'll get into that another day in time. Now we want to go ahead and get back over to the main Scripture text, but I want to show that to Romans 8:1, to where when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to be condemned. Is that not beautiful? Now think of this before I go forward. I tell people, you think. We have evil thoughts, we have good thoughts, okay? So you have thoughts good and bad, right? We say good and bad things, right? We also do good in bad things. These are your works, okay? These are the things that I believe that you're going to be judged on. Every thought, every word, every deed. So you're going to be judged on that. So what you think, if you think a good thought, you know, you're rewarded for that. If you say something good, you're rewarded for that. If you treat someone nice and good, you're rewarded for that. These are examples of walking in the Spirit and walking as Christ walked. But when we walk out of love and we begin to think bad thoughts, say bad things, do bad things, Christ said, I can't reward you for that. We move on to the next one, okay? That's how your judgment is going to be. He's not going to condemn you for it. But those that you've done good, he's going to bless you for it. Here's your eternal reward. And I told you before that the greatest reward that you're going to receive, you've already received the greatest reward when he raised you from the dead. He's going to give you eternal life. There is no reward in heaven, no mansions, no silver, no gold, nothing that we can even imagine in heaven is going to be greater than you living for all eternity in a youthful body. You'll never grow old. You'll never have to, you know, right now I wear glasses. I don't have to wear glasses again. I lost my hair. But who knows? Maybe I'll have my hair again, you know. I'll look youthful, okay? I'll put on a few pounds. I won't have those pounds, okay? You're going to look immaculate. That's the point that I'm making. And what better gift to get than to know that I'm going to live for all eternity, but I'm going to be beautiful. I'm going to be handsome or whatever. Maybe you're lazy, so you're going to be beautiful for all eternity. What greater gift can you get than that? I don't need anything of worth after that. I'll be happy with just that, the fact that I get to live in joy and peace in all eternity. I won't have to eat, okay? We won't have to worry about, you know, taking a bath every day. We won't have to worry about, you know, drinking water or whatever, exercise. We won't have to worry about none of that, no stress, no getting up, going to work. Father, who don't want to take part in that? These are the rewards that you're going to receive as a believer. Who doesn't want – you're going to get the rest for all eternity. And when people say, I hear people sometimes say, well, you know, well, you're going to have to do this and do that. Here's the thing. Because you are now spiritually one with the Heavenly Father, okay, praise and worship is not going to be a problem. There are times where I love to just listen to my music and just praise Him just for hours, just praise Him because of joy, because of peace, because of love. Simply because of that, you're going to want to praise. You're probably going to be just praising Him like crazy when you get to heaven. You probably won't even know. You've probably been praising Him for tens of thousands of years before you even get to enjoy anything that you may have. Okay? I know I'm kind of speculating a little bit, but I'm just saying. People think that it's going to be an annoying thing to be in heaven. No, it's not. Heaven is going to be, Paul said, I hadn't seen, nor has ear heard, which means there are sounds in heaven we can't even imagine. There are things that our vision we can't even see. And I've spoken before that I'm not going to go into the story. I told a story before where I had the spiritual vision that there are colors. Okay, now I'm not blind. Now I can't. I wear glasses, but I'm not colorblind. I can see colors. Okay, but there are colors in heaven that we ain't even seen. Now, see, that's how mind blowing heaven. Now you say, how are they even possible? I'm not blind. See all the colors here. How are there more colors? Well, see again, Paul said I hadn't seen, and when I had thought that same spiritual vision. That late on that week, that Sunday, we was invited to go to a church, and a young pastor stood up in church. A young minister stood up in church and said that exact same thing. He said his grandmother told him when he was a child. She said, son, there are colors in heaven that we ain't even seen. That's mind-blowing. That just gives you a spiritual insight, a spiritual thought of what's in heaven. Paul said you can't even enter into your mind. You can't even imagine. See, think about how deep that you can't even imagine what's in heaven. And even better so, we're not going to live in the old heaven, the one that where Satan destroyed and warred in heaven. We're going to live in a brand new heaven. It's like living in a brand new mansion. Unimaginable, okay? The things that you're going to receive as a believer, you can't even fathom what you're going to get. The rewards that you're going to receive. And yet, people fighting over all this stuff and killing over all this stuff, they just don't know. Okay? The Christ said it best. You know, why worry about the things on earth that's going to turn to rust? Thieves can break in and steal. The moth are going to eat up. Why worry about this stuff here? I'm not saying it's not good to have some things in this life. I like some things in this life. But I tell people all the time, if your focus is mostly on natural things, you're in trouble because you're going to spend more time in eternity than you are in time. And your focus needs to be more on the spiritual realm and building spiritual gifts than things of this world. This world is going to pass. In fact, the Bible says he's going to destroy the old heaven and the old earth. This is what you want to focus on is what you do for Christ. Because the word says only what you do for Christ will last for all eternity. Okay, I know I'm taking a lot on this one verse, but I got to share this with you. This is very, very important. I must share this with you. You have to get this, that your spiritual life is far more important than your natural life. People put so much emphasis. You know, I like to watch motivational speeches on YouTube, and I get so many messages and ads in my feed about how you can make money, how you become a millionaire. I hate that junk. I'm not paying to not have ads, but it bothers me to keep seeing that. I say these people just don't know. The word says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And so you don't even know the thing that's the thing that costs you the most and that's the most important to you has no money attachment to it. Yet people ignore it. That's your soul. You should be working for Christ. Yet people working for the flesh. Okay, if you don't believe, this flesh is going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed in the lake of fire. Okay, so let's move on. Okay, back over to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter is where I'm at. Let's take a look at verse 11. Then we're going to come back. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and do some. Add some supporting scriptures. Let's go ahead and look at verse 9. Let's go back to that one. So, again, we talked about building the kingdom for the Heavenly Father. So let's go over to Ephesians, the second chapter. Okay, I don't want to miss out on some of these verses. Let me move along, okay? Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to look at verses 20 through 22. I have a habit of adding scriptures as I go, so just work with me. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 20 through 22. What does it say? Verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's very important, right? In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You see that? Christ is the chief cornerstone. People who are masons who build, people who are in forgot what you call it, the people who do, who build houses and buildings, they understand that it's very important that when you have a chief cornerstone, a block, okay, and that block must be perfect. This is why we're not perfect, okay, but we are modeled after the chief cornerstone, which is Christ, Yeshua, okay? Let me give you a better example. You know, my mother-in-law had her house, her floor done, and the guy that was doing her floor, that first piece of tile that he put on the floor, it had to be perfect. He was measuring that thing from left to right. He was measuring, making sure that it was correct. It fitted perfectly with the rest of the room. It had to be, because if he got off on that first tile, then the rest of the tiles will be uneven. So he had to make sure it was perfect. He would line that thing up. I was watching. I said, okay. I said, this kind of reminds me of something. And so you think about it, when you think about a building, when they build that building, they have this chief cornerstone. That cornerstone is going to be what the rest of the blocks and the stones in the building is based off. It has to be perfect. And this is what Christ is for us. He's perfect, okay? He is the chief cornerstone. And basically, we're building the kingdom, okay? So that's the focus. We want to build the kingdom for who? For Christ. We're building the kingdom. When we teach and we preach and we take time to study and read and research and we buy all these books, these expensive books, to read and study. And so that what? Because the Bible said we must what? Study to show thyself approved, right? That we're not just out here just imagining things and making up things and just, you know, firing off from the top of our heads. It's not what we want to do. We want to make sure that we take, just like a chef. When a chef cooks, he takes out his time. He gets educated. He knows what he's doing. When he prepares that meal for you, you say, hey, this was great, okay? And so that's what we want to do. We want to study to show ourselves approved, because we are building the kingdom of Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. We're building the kingdom. Heaven is going to, the new heaven, the new earth is going to be beautiful, right? So we're going to go back over to the main scripture text, okay? Let's go ahead and look at we're going to get into Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3, okay? But this is going to be in reference to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. So let's go over to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3. Then I'm going to go back over to 1 Corinthians, okay? So Romans, the 12th chapter. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This is why we keep the chief cornerstone as the head. You know, we don't get above ourselves. You know, no matter how much we learn as ministers and preachers and pastors and bishops and overseers, it doesn't matter what we learn, evangelists, you know, it doesn't matter in ministry. We keep him ahead because he is the chief cornerstone. We're following behind Christ. Okay, we model ourselves behind Christ to show love, to teach the word, to give, you know, as much as we can. For the word says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Okay, so we are to build thereupon. This is what it means. This is what it's referencing to. We're building the kingdom. So back over to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 6. Okay, we've already read this. I'm not going to go back to that. So I've already explained 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 6. So now I'll call your attention to, let's read verse 11. Back to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 11. Again, that's 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, nobody can take his place. He is the King of Kings. He is the Son of the Most High. He's also the Son of Man. He was perfect. Nobody can walk and do what Christ did. Okay? For the Bible says when he was raised from the dead, all power is in his hand. He has the power over death and hell, okay? He has power over all the enemies. He's gonna come back and deal with his enemies in the end. That's what it says in verse 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ. meaning that none of us can be Christ. There's only one Messiah. There's only one that died for our sins to save and to redeem mankind back to the Heavenly Father. That's what he did. He restored the relationship between man because of what? Because of what Adam and Eve did. Christ came back and made it right. Okay, he died on the cross. He hung, bled, and died and suffered. He was perfect, right? He had the opportunity. He could have called on a legion of angels if he wanted to basically stop them from doing what they were doing. But he said, no, he didn't do that, right? Because he loves us so much. He loves you so much that he made the ultimate sacrifice. This is what Paul is writing about. So I'm going to call your attention to Isaiah, the 28th chapter. We'll look at verse 16, that's Isaiah, the 28th chapter, verse 16. This is what it says. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Man, look at that. All we have to do is just follow Christ. Just say, I believe him. You know, I share with you how so much on social media, and I was looking at this video this past week, and this gentleman said how he's an atheist and stuff like that. And, you know, we have to get out of that mindset, that mentality that there is no God and that there's no one coming for us. You know, people make so much mockery and jokes about our Lord and Savior, and they say, oh, he ain't coming back. They've been saying that for many years. You know, My soul goes out to them. My heart goes out to them because they don't know what's coming, okay? And I told you before, for us as believers, we don't have anything to worry about. This is a blessed time for us. Things that are end time symbols and signs, it ain't for us. Christ has come back to get us before the great tribulation starts, okay? So it's not for us. It's for those that don't believe. They're going to have to deal with that. And this is not going to be a time it's not going to be a time that you want to be here. Let's just put it like that. Okay. So let's go over to Matthew's, the 16th chapter, verse 18. And then we're going to move forward. We're almost halfway done. Kind of move a little fast tonight. Matthew's, the 16th chapter, verse 18. Okay. Let's see what it says. Matthew's, the 16th chapter, verse 18. It says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a very deep and prophetic scripture there. Matthew's the 16th chapter, verse 18. You know, I'm a little old school. I like to flip through the chapters. I know some people may say, well, why don't he just look at it on his phone or a tablet or something? No, I do actually have a tablet that I can just go through the scriptures quickly, but I'm just real old school. I just like to just do things. I like to write and just do things the old school way. So that's why it kind of takes me a little time to get up, flip through the chapters. But this verse is beautiful. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church. Okay? And so you'll see, you know, Christ started it, and you just see how he just hands it off. You just see for the generations, we'll hand it off to the next generation, okay? We're building the church, okay? I teach my family, I teach my kids about salvation. Hey, this is the way you want to live. We're steady building the church. We're still steady building. And, you know, that's what I encourage you to do. Once you get saved, hey, don't leave it to chance. You know, you don't want to leave your kids at home or don't have your kids to listen to ministry or to what's said. You know, if we're teaching them the word, your children, that's the best time to teach them. Because if you don't, you know, that's going to be difficult to try to get them to transition when they become teenagers or in high school or adults. It's just almost near impossible sometimes to get people to change. And I would never understand that. You know, I would have friends back in the day that when I was growing up, their mothers would go to church, but they'd leave them at the house. I'm like, what sense does that make? They need salvation too. You know, you have to. The Bible says if you train up a child in the way he should go, he shall not depart. And, you know, it's something to see people, their parents went to church, but they didn't participate in church. And you just see them as adults. It's like they just kind of out there. And I encourage you, you know, don't don't be that parent. You know, make your kids involved as young as they can be. If they can understand, you know, dancing, you see all these social media sites, these kids are dancing. Kids understand very well. That's the best time to teach them about the Most High is when they're very young, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's the best time to teach them. If they can dance and rap and sing all this other mess out here, then they can get into the Word. They can quote and read scriptures. They can read the Bible. You know, that's what you want. You want to teach them young. Okay? And this is just an example of how we're building the kingdom. Okay? At some point in time, we got sidetracked. We got lost in building the kingdom. We thought it was okay just to go to church and leave our kids at home. And now you see why we got all this confusion in our community. People selling drugs, people killing, prostitution, robbery, breaking into people's houses is because we've gotten away from the Most High. We have to get back to this. This is the answer. This is the key. People always want to come and ask me, well, what do you think of the answer? I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is the Word. The answer is the Son of Man. It's Christ. But see, people don't want to hear that. They're looking for a natural solution, okay? That's the worst thing you can do because in the natural, there's not the solution in the natural because, again, what the Bible say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities of spirits, right, in high places. So it's a spiritual warfare. So in order to battle a spirit in a spiritual warfare, you can't fight a spirit in the natural. You have to fight him in the what? Spirit. You have to get in the Spirit. You have to get in the Word, okay? This is important. All right, so back over to 1 Corinthians, third chapter, verse 12. We're going to go back to our main scripture text. I'm just going to read this scripture because I believe that I've pretty much covered 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 13. So I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to try to break it down any further. It says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble." Or it just says stubble. Okay? I guess I do need to kind of get into this verse. It's actually an important verse. I actually have it marked in my Bible, so that means it's important. It says that the foundation is, so in other words, whatever you build, okay, I kind of covered it in the beginning, what you think, what you say, and what you do is going to yield you rewards. So ask yourself this right now in the natural. If you was to work, let's say, for 6 months, and we say, okay, your work is going to be based off of what you think, what you say, and what you do. These are your rewards for 6 months. Would you rather have gold, silver, and precious stones like diamonds, jewelry, emeralds? You know, you can think of any stone out there, right? I know a lot of women like diamonds, right? Okay. Or would you rather have would you rather have wood, hay, or stubble? That's a good question. I know what I'd rather have. I'd rather have gold, silver, and precious stones as my rewards. So according to your work, this is what you're going to, this is what your reward. This is Paul giving an example. Now, this is just an example Paul is giving us. We don't know what the rewards of heaven is going to be. Remember, he said that eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the heart. We can't imagine the rewards that Christ has for us, right? He said, "Lo, I go that I may build you." He said, "And my Father's house are many mansions," right? So he's going to prepare what? A place for us. He's preparing our place for us right now, okay? So in that place, I want gold, silver, and precious stones. If you're a believer, this is going to be your reward. If you're doing good deeds, good works, okay? If you're building, right? Okay? But if you're not building good works and things, so you have to ask yourself this. And I've taught this in Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study. I talk to people all the time and say, okay, well, tell me right now, you know, when you are missing Sunday school and you want to sleep in or eat breakfast or whatever you're doing, that you're doing all this getting ready to come to church, you're missing out on rewards. When you're not coming to Wednesday night, the pastor asks you to do something, that's part of the ministry. Okay, that's part of our reasonable service, as Paul said. These things are reasonable service. Me reading and studying my Bible every day, that's reasonable service. There's no such thing as, oh, I don't have time. Oh, what you mean you don't have time? He took the time out to wake me up, give me the breath of life, give me clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, food on my table, a roof over my head, a job, or opportunities. There are plenty of opportunities. We live in the land of opportunity. You mean to tell me you can't pick up your Bible and read a chapter a day or at least a few verses a day? I remember when I used to teach and tell people almost, you know, many, many years ago, they used to ask, well, where do I start? Read a scripture a day. Keep it simple. Don't stress yourself out, because some people, you know, they'll stress them out. You say read a chapter a day, they look at you crazy. I'm like, what? Yeah. Restart. So just read your scripture. You know, you don't want to shock anyone. Read your scripture every day. You should read the scripture. That shouldn't be, because some people don't pick up their Bible, you know, before the pandemic. People wouldn't pick up their Bible, but maybe once a week. That's when they went to church. Let alone read it and study it. I just said pick it up. I didn't say read and stuff. They just pick up the Bible and go to church. The only time they crack it open is when the pastor's fixing to preach. So the point that I'm making to you is this is reasonable service, Paul said. Paul said, you're supposed to do that anyway. There ain't no boasting or bragging because I study and read the Bible daily. It's not boasting or bragging. That's reason. That's what I'm supposed to do. Just like you're supposed to get up and go to work every day, take care of your family. That's what a man's supposed to do. You're supposed to read the word. You're supposed to study the word. Okay? Now, what you do on top of that, tithing and giving and loving, that's just on top. That's just rewards that you're going to receive. As you can see, Paul said, gold, silver, and precious stones. Hey, I want mine. I want all that's mine. Okay? I'm preparing for the afterlife. And there are some people who think that's a joke. Okay? Well, we'll see you in the end. Okay, I'm one to sit here and tell you that that's not a joke. This is real. There are going to be rewards that you don't want to miss out on. So no longer miss out on your rewards. These are blessed opportunities for you just to say a kind word. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? You know, speak the word. Show love. Give people a hug that need it. Do something for the elderly. Do something for the sick and the shut-in. These are blessings for you. Why miss out on these blessings? It doesn't make any sense to miss out on these blessings, okay? These are for you, okay? And I guess that's why I don't use a computer, because now my computer won't come back up. That's why I do things the old school way. Paper and pen don't never fail, okay? Now, watch this, okay? Verse 13, we just covered verse 12. And I may revert back to verse 12. Right now we're going to move on to verse 13. Let's see. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay? So whatever you do, so think of it when you go to your job, okay, and you work, right? It's the same thing. When you work, what do you get? You work a week or two. At the end of that, what does your employer give you? They give you a check. Or if you're self-employed, you do the work, you know, you get what? Paid. You get a check. You get cash or whatever your payment is, okay? You do the work, you get paid. But this is what Paul's saying. Every man's work shall be what? Made manifest. It will be made known, for the day shall declare, okay? Because Paul says it shall be revealed by what? Fire. Okay, so I want to call our attention to, let's go to Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. That's Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Amen. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Watch this. And it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we not faint, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, there's that word again, opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay? I'm going to share this with you. You know, in just my years of going to church and being in church, you know, you'll see people in church who, you know, and this is not a bash on all church people, but just some, you know, some people won't speak, especially when they're out in public. They won't show you no love. They won't acknowledge you or anything. And what they don't understand is that they're losing rewards. If they say they're true believers, you know, I kind of have a feeling about those type of people, if they're believers or not. But You know, sometimes you may have believers that act funny like that. They act like they fake, or they act like they better than somebody just because they may have a Cadillac or a Lexus or something. That, again, we covered that. When Paul said, "What, are we better than each other?" Absolutely not. I am no better than you just because I have a nice car or a nice house or a good job. Absolutely not. I am. We should all be humble. We are all on the same level. I don't care what you have, or if I have less than you. You may have more than me. You may have a nice house or a brand new car. I may be driving a Hoopty or whatever, or, you know, I may not dress as nice. I may not have expensive suits like you may have, but we are the same. We should not look down on our brothers and sisters. See, you're losing spiritual rewards because you think you're high and mighty than others. This is what Paul said. Don't have that mindset, that mentality. Paul said that the work that we're doing is all worthy of praise, right? And when I say praise, I mean from the Heavenly Father. In other words, we're going to be rewarded. That's what I mean, okay? And so we shouldn't be beside ourselves and say, oh, look, this brother's doing this in the church. No, his work is just as good. If he's playing the piano, he's doing his part. If he's playing the drums, he's doing his part. Okay, if they're singing, they're doing their part. Okay, if they're taking up the offering, they're the ushers. Everybody in ministry is important. We don't look down on someone and say, oh, he ain't really doing much, right? Okay, I laugh at that because I've seen some things in the past and over the years how people would just treat one another. And so we can't act like that as the children of the Most High. We must love one another, for we are a family, right? And we have to remember that who gets the glory? Yahweh gets the glory, right? Increase, right? He gives the increase, okay? So we have to keep that in mind. Okay, I have some more scriptures that I'm not going to go into because of the time. I'm going to go ahead and move forward because I have some other scriptures that I want to include. Let's see, make sure I have them. Let's go ahead and go back to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. It says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Okay? So if I look at 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 5, I'm just going to just read it. That's all I'm going to do. You can do your own research. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God the Father in heaven. Amen. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Okay? We let Christ do the judging. That's what he was appointed for. Okay? He was appointed to do the judging. Okay? And I want to call your attention because now we dealt with the saints. We're going to kind of look at some things with the non-believers this last half hour. Okay? So verse 15, back over to verse 15 of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. This is what it reads. It says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by, I think this verse here, these last four verses is important, but that verse 15 really, really sticks out to me. Because it says, if any man's work, this is referring to the believers, okay? I'm not talking to the non-believers in this context, okay? It says, if any man's work shall be burned, in other words, you know, when we talk about wood, hay, stubble, those things, in other words, your work that wasn't worth anything, the bad works, okay, if it be burned, he shall what? Suffer loss. I just said, if you don't treat the brother and sister, as the scripture said, especially to the other household of faith, we are to especially treat one another with love. When you see a brother and sister in Christ, you should always speak and show love. Brother, how you doing? And in fact, back during the Old Testament time, they used to what? Greet one another with a kiss. Now, I'm not encouraging you to kiss on people this day and time because, you know, people may not feel comfortable with that. You may want to keep your lips to yourself, okay? So we just want to make sure we ain't disrespecting and get out of line. You know, people may take that the wrong way. But you can at least shake people's hand. You can at least give people a kind hug, you know. Or just at least, if nothing else, just speak to them, right? But Paul says in verse 15, says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He's referring back to verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where we talked about the wood, hay, and the stubble. Okay? If you don't do, as a believer, if you don't walk according to the Spirit, or if you don't walk in love, which we all know that we all don't. I don't. No one is perfect, okay? Even as a believer, I tell people all the time, the only difference between you and me is I believe, okay? And because I believe, the Holy Spirit indwells me, and he leads and guides me, and I just follow, okay? And so I pattern my life after Christ as much as I can. Doesn't mean I'm always perfect, or I'm always, when I say perfect, I mean mature, because that's what the word perfect in the Greek means. Translate to me mature. So when I say I'm perfect, I don't want nobody out there thinking I'm saying I'm I'm saying that I don't sin. That's not what I'm saying. The Bible says to be, it means to be mature. But if you look at the scripture here, he says that, but he himself shall be what? Saved. So you still got your salvation. That's the greatest gift. You got your salvation. What is being saved? Eternal life. We talked about that. When Christ come back to the church, you believe, you're saved. Just that simple. I like how the Word and how the Bible and our Heavenly Father and the Son and the Spirit keeps it simple. Say, just believe. That's all you got to do. Just believe. Just get in. I tell people all the time, just get your ticket. There ain't no need in missing this train. It's free. I tell people all the time, salvation is free. If people out there teaching this stuff, talking about you got to do this and do that to get in, and they guessing and thinking, and you run, okay? Run from that pastor, run from that minister, run. That ain't what the Bible teaches, okay? Salvation is free. That's why it's called salvation. You ever heard that place called the Salvation Army? Salvation, you know, I'm just using that reference. But the point that I'm making is salvation is free. Okay, and I tell people there are three things that's free. That's air, water, and salvation. And salvation is the easiest of water and air because I got to continuously breathe. If I stop breathing, I'm going to die. I got to continue. My lungs have to continue to function for me to breathe. Salvation is easy because I don't have to do salvation over and over and over again. I got to breathe over and over again. I got to drink water over and over again. I got to go in there, open the bottle. I got to go to my refrigerator, my sink, and get the water out, and I got to drink it. I got to do that continuously over and over. See, salvation is really free because you ain't got to do nothing for it. All you got to do is believe. It's the easiest of the three, and they're all free. All you have to do is believe. Salvation is yours. Why not make it easier on yourself? Why not want to live forever? Why not want to have a young, beautiful body for all eternity? Why not want to have rewards that I can't even think of, rewards that I can't even imagine or see or even hear? I want those rewards. Why not? Why not want to live I want to live all eternity with my Creator anyway. That just makes sense to me. That's not only spiritual sense, but that's just natural common sense that I would want to be with my Creator for all eternity. The person that put me here. Why is it so hard for people to have an issue with our Creator, like he's done something bad to them? He gave you life. He created you. But yet people want to get beside themselves and be arrogant. I don't want to do that. I don't believe there's a God. That's foolishness. People curse God till, you know, they're cursing God. It's the worst thing you could do. You don't know the blessings that you're missing out on when you're not on this train. And I tell people all the time, if you ain't on this train, you need to get on this train. You know, I know my dad was, when I was a kid, my dad used to say, he used to talk about the glory bound train. You know, get your ticket, get on board. Get on the glory bound train. I hear old school people say it all the time. They say, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. And I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. Trust me, I am. I'm going to run on and see what's going to be. I used to always hear the old mothers of the church say that. You know, they say, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run on with them. I'm running with them. I want to run on and see what the end's going to be. I want to see what he has in store. Why miss out on that? For what? For TV, for car, for job, for money, for wealth, you know, for entertainment, for sports. I don't know. You call it. But the Bible said, well, it profits a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own. You're going to lose your own soul. That's what you own. You own that. That's yours. Your own soul. That belongs to you. See, the devil can't take my soul. And that's what he's mad about. When I teach salvation, I give you life, he don't like that. When I tell you how you can get saved and it's easy, he don't like that. He wants you to believe that it's different. He wants you to really believe that you got to climb Mount Everest to get saved. And we already know how that story pans out, right? Do your research. A lot of people that go to Mount Everest don't ever come back down. So if you want to go that route, you go right ahead. But that ain't salvation. I'm here to tell you that now. Salvation is simply Romans 10:9-10, which is the plan of salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. There it is. One and done. Simple. That's it. Remember when Christ dealt with, what was his name, Nicodemus? And Nicodemus said, how shall one be born again? Shall he be born out of his mother's womb again? I think that funny. That story's a little funny. I'm like, what was Nicodemus thing? He wasn't, no, Nicodemus was, he was a very smart man. He was an educated man. You know, he had money. He was very educated. But he was just saying, you know, he was kind of a little confused, which some of us are. You know, I get confused sometimes. But he said he just wanted to know because he knew Christ. He said, I know that you come from God, right? So he wanted Christ to tell him. He wanted Christ because he knew Christ knew. Explain this to me. You know? He said, I know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do what? These miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Nicodemus knew that. Jesus answered and said unto him, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We used to have a saying in seminary school, when we was in school, it said that if you're born twice, you'll die once. So you're born once of a woman, you're born again of the spirit, and I'm going to die in this flesh one time. And then we have another saying that says, well, you can be born once and die twice. Meaning if you're born once of a woman, but if you never get born again in the spirit, you're going to die in the flesh, and then you're going to die an eternal spiritual death in the lake of fire for all eternity. This is a choice. And now I'm just speaking to you now. This is just raw word. I'm just speaking to you now. It's not even, I'm still within the context of my teachings, but I want you to understand that salvation is simple. And Satan has tricked man because there are so many that are in the church. And it was one of the reasons why I walked away from church, because so many people are so religious. I tell you, I don't have a religion. I have a spiritual heavenly father that I follow. I follow spirituality, not religion. I have a savior. Okay, and people are just, you know, they have another agenda, and they're not teaching the rightly divided word, and then people's souls are just being lost. That's why people come to the church, they go back out in the church, they're not being filled with the correct word, they're not growing spiritually. They're not understanding that all I got to do is confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'm saved. And from there, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and dwell, and the Holy Spirit's going to do, he's going to lead you and guide you and begin to work on you, okay? That's how it works. See, it's just like medicine. Okay, once you know that you're sick, you start what? Taking medicine. Do you get better instantly? No, absolutely not. When you catch a cold, it takes time for that cold. We always say we can just take medicine. Boy, I feel good already. Absolutely not. It's not the way it works. When you get saved, it takes time for things to come out, to get out of you, right? The same thing with a sickness. When you take that medicine, you start to feel better over the days and times. You know, the week later, you don't have a cold anymore. It's the same thing with salvation. That you get delivered. Some things you may get delivered instantly from. Some things not. Some things take a little time. That's why I struggled with my salvation. When I first got saved, oh, man, my first 6 months, I didn't know what was going on. I was so stressed. I'm thinking bad thoughts, you know, seeing, looking at things I shouldn't be looking at, you know, walking, you know, not in the spirit. I'm like, man, am I saved or what? I was confused myself. I didn't know if I was coming or going. I was stressing out like, man, this was salvation. And I don't know if I want a part of this. That's because I didn't know any better. But when, you know, I started to get training and teaching and, you know, just reading the word and the Holy Spirit showed me and talking to family members, it's like, okay, this is the path right here. I'm like, wow, see, this is salvation here. All you got to do is just get saved. He's going to work out the rest. That's natural. Paul even said it in Romans, the 7th chapter. I believe it's Romans, the 7th chapter. What did Paul say? Oh, in Romans, the 7th chapter, I think it's verse 14. Paul was talking about, you know, those things. He talked about, for I am carnal. That's what he said. He said, for I am carnal, sold into sin. Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 14 through 25. Read that context. He says, for we know that the law is what? Spiritual. But I am what? Carnal, sold unto sin. You're going to sin. But but I want you to get saved. That's why I had to interject about salvation, because I always have to revert back to tell you about salvation, those of you who are listening, because I don't know if you're saved or not. This may be your first time hearing me, and I want you to be saved. I love you. I want you to be there on that great day. I don't want you to miss out. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're 10, 20, or 99. I don't want you to miss out. This is going to be great. This is something that you don't want to miss. You think a concert or a football game or a presidency, some type of great event. Now, this is the event that you don't want to miss. This is the one you want to have your ticket for. Trust me, you do. Trust me, you don't want to miss this. You want to be saved. So when that sky crack open and all them angels in heaven going to be with them, it's going to be a sight to behold. And I tell you, you're going to be wanting to be on the side of the Son of Man when Christ. And all the people that's making jokes about him, oh, man, I tell you right now, their jaw going to be on the ground when they see him. Oh, you didn't think he was real. Oh, he's very real. They make all these jokes about Christ. Oh, Christ ain't real. Oh, he was just a prophet. Oh, they got all kind of cute stuff. I didn't hear it in my 20 years of witnessing people. I didn't witness to them all, rich, poor, you name it, high status, no, low class, high class, middle class. I didn't talk to them all. But what I want you to understand is that salvation, the rewards that you're going to receive is going to be great. Don't miss out on it. The rewards you're going to receive is unbelievable. Okay? So back to the main scripture text. We're going to look at, let's go over to Revelations, the 10. Let's go to the book of Daniel real quick. Let's go to Daniel. Let's see what the folks who don't believe are going to get. Let's see what's behind door number two. You know, because some folks don't believe. It's not funny, but it's kind of funny that, man, like, you know, how can you miss this, you know? It's not rocket science. That's what I love about the Heavenly Father. He keeps it simple. I tell people, you know, like, I heard people say, well, you know, I don't really know the Bible that way. Hey, that's fine. He didn't ask you to be a scholar to get in. He just said, believe. You see, if you know one thing, if you read the Gospels, when Christ always did his miracles, and people were so astonished about what he did. He just raised the dead, Christ said, but do you believe? Say, so, yeah, I know I just raised a man from the dead, but that's not what I want you to focus on. Don't focus on the miracle, focus on the man. Do you believe in me? That's what he always said, right? When he saw the brother, said, I saw you up under the tree. He said, I saw you. He said, how'd you see? How'd you know what I was doing? You weren't even there. That astonished him. Christ said, yeah, I know that was pretty amazing. That was a miracle, I know. But do you believe? He had to ask him, but do you believe? See, he's mainly concerned with what? Do you believe? That's simple. Do you have faith in me? Do you believe that I'm the Son of Man? Do you believe that I'm here to die for your sins and I'm going to raise you up one day? That's what Christ wants to know. And that's what I want to know. Do you believe? Just that simple. Yes or no? You say, yes, I believe him. If I didn't believe him before, hey, I believe him now. I got this thing called salvation. I want to go back with it. Let's look at Daniel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Let's look at, see what we got here. We're working with some time. Okay, Daniel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Let's read what it says. I'm going to read the whole four verses. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen. There was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So we're talking about the end times, okay? There's going to be a time on this earth that I tell people, hey, you know, get saved. Because we're talking about the time leading up to tribulation and the time in tribulation. And we can see the troubles of the world right now today as we speak. We can see the world. And I tell people, I really don't, like my dad used to say, you know, my dad used to always say this before he passed away. He said, man, he said, I'm glad I'm going to be here for this 21st century, this next century. Y'all got to be here for that. He's right. And so what's to come? I don't believe it's going to get better. I really think that the world's going to continue to decline. That's just my belief. It may get some better, but I don't really think so. I think we're like within the doorstep. We're within the time that we're in this new world. That's where we're at. And we know that, you know, that at some point the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, but before he does, Christ is going to return to get the church. Verse 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. I'm going to stop right there and let you guys read verses 4, okay, 3 and 4. But verse 2 is what I want you to focus on. And many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This context right here, they believe, is going to be the Old Testament saints is going to awaken. Because remember, the church age saints is going to be gone, which is us. We're in the. This is called the church age, which we're in. The mystery is, when is it going to end? Nobody knows when the church age is going to end. So we're going to be gone. And then, because it's going to be a resurrection of two, as you can see. This is a resurrection here. It says they're going to wake out of the dust of the earth, some to everlasting life. That's believed to be the Old Testament saints, because the New Testament saints are already gone home. And then some to shame and everlasting contempt. That word contempt is means like to abhor. I mean, in other words, to disgust, to shame. Okay, that's going to be bad for them, for those who don't believe. And again, you know, people play so many, you know, they want to make jokes about, you know, the things that are going to come. You're not going to want to be a part of that. It's going to be a time for them. It's not going to be good for those who are going to awaken to this everlasting contempt. They're going to be judged for the things that they've done in this life. And, you know, Daniel, kind of like John, what did the Bible say? You know, they want to know more. And if you look at verse 13 of Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 13 says, he said, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. Meaning his spirit, his soul is going to rest. His body, his flesh is going to rest. And stand in thy lot at the end of the days. There's so much that we don't know that's going to happen up leading up until this end time, going into the very final judgment. But I tell you, you know, you want to be saved, okay? We're on the winning side. And now we're going to go over to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 10 through 15. Then I'm going to get ready to close out. See if I can get this done before the time's up. Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 10 through 15. Now, I threw in verse 10 because I think it's important to add into this very last context. This is the final judgment, okay? So, the saints, the New Testament saints, which is us, we've been judged, right? The Old Testament saints will be judged by this time, okay? This is the final judgment. This is for the lost. And this is going to be the rewards that they're going to receive. Now, I told you about the rewards that we're going to receive, okay? How it's going to be gold, silver, precious stone. So understand when Paul said that, Paul had to use what he could imagine that we were going to receive, okay? But nobody knows what we're going to receive, but it's going to be great, okay? Now, looking at verse 10, this is Revelation, the 20th chapter. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, let me say this real quick. Hope I got some time. Let me say this real quick. All these people who are sold their souls to the devil, I know people think this stuff is cute. You know, sometimes I have to kind of train and teach my kids. Yeah, it's okay to watch that stuff, because we used to watch that stuff too as well. But, you know, don't get into that, because those folks have sold their souls. Their souls is lost, and hopefully they'll get saved before it's too late. Hopefully they'll change. It's never too late. And I want people to know, if you sell your soul don't belong to Satan once you sell your soul. Your soul, first of all, belongs to the Heavenly Father, because he created you, okay? First and foremost, he gave it to you. So your soul is still yours. All you have to do is just believe, okay? There are so many people who have gone this way. I mean, the Luciferians, Satanists, whatever you want to call these people. There are so many different names. I don't even want to get into that mess. They have sold their souls. They're willing the way not of salvation. They're non-believers. They'll mock God. As you can see here in Revelation 10, what happens to Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. He said that he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So you're going to follow someone like that? Why? He's lost. I'm not following that. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. And I'm not following that. That's not where I'm going. Just to give me some trinkets here on earth for a short period of time. And I think about a lot of entertainers that have sold their soul and have lost their lives and within a very short period of time. It's like, wow, you sold your soul for some trinkets for a short period of time, and now you're going to spend all eternity in the lake of fire. Watch what it says. It says, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The scripture also talks about how the fallen angel is going to be there too. This is going to be their life. This is where they're going to spend all eternity. I don't want no part of that. And that's why I'm so glad 20 years ago, just a little over 20 years ago, April 15, 2000, I got saved. And that was one of my biggest fear, is that I looked up in the sky because I knew how I was raised and how my dad and my mom raised me. And I said, you know what? I don't want to go to hell. That was my exact word. That was before I knew that hell and Lake of Fire were two different places. I said, Heavenly Father, I don't want to go to hell. Not for all eternity. That's too long. I had to think about that. I said, yeah, I'm having fun out in the world. I'm doing good. I'm living life. I'm partying. I'm kicking it. I'm doing everything. And just one day driving home, the Holy Spirit just touched me and just said, you know, I said, you know what? I don't want to die and go to hell. And I don't. I didn't then. I'm so glad I made the transition. And I pray and hope that you do the same thing because, you know, Satan is selling you a lie. If you think that you're winning on that side, he's selling you a lie. That's what he's doing. He don't want you to know this is where you're going to end up with him for all eternity. Now watch this. It says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Who wants that? I don't like pain. I don't like hurting. I don't like being sick. So you can imagine dealing with this for all eternity. Now watch what it says. Verse 11 through 15. Let's go ahead and get to it. This is the final judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. So heaven and earth is going to flee faster than what you can imagine. It's like they're going to run away from God. It's going to be like you're going to think this is going to be so amazing, so incredible. The Bible says they fled away. The old heaven and earth is going to be gone. So they're just going to have the great white throne. You're going to have a son, Christ, is going to be doing the judging, right? And I want to share with you real quick. Let me go to a scripture that I want to share with you real quick before I get into this. I want to go over to St. John, the 5th chapter. And we're going to take a look at verses 22 through 27. Okay? Let's go ahead and get with it. It says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Remember, I told you, you're not going to sneak into heaven. You must go through Christ. You got to be saved. You got to confess that he is what? He was raised from the dead. Verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, not temporary life, everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation. There that word is again. You're not going to be judged on anything bad that you've done, which is a good thing, because I would hate to have to stand before him and knowing that, hey, I didn't do everything right? But watch what it says in verse going forward. It says, but it's passed from what? Death unto life. That's spiritual death unto what? Spiritual life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. Sure as I'm preaching to you, the hour is coming and now is. You better know, looking at the world today, you better know that the hour is near. Watch this. It says, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When he shall, he's just going to call from the grave. That is some power. I can go out to the graveyard right now and shout out to my parents. They ain't going to hear me. But Christ has the power that he's going to shout, and they're going to hear his. Now, that's power. Why wouldn't you want to serve someone like that? That's power. He can call their name. When he called Lazarus, he said, Lazarus. Lazarus had to come out. Death had to let him go. He came forward. Verse 26 says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. In other words, he is life. He has the power of life. That's why he's able to raise from the dead. God said, I got it. Now I gave it to my son, because now he has what? All power. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. See, this is why the Father's not going to judge, because why? He's in heaven. He is. So we say, well, God, you perfect. You ain't never experienced this life. You ain't never went through what I went through. You ain't know what the work and dealt with these people and family and spouse and friends and lovers, whatever it is that we deal with in this life. He ain't have to deal with that. But he's going to say, but my son did. He was in the flesh. He went through the same thing that you went through. Yeah, he walked perfect. And people think that's a joke. Back over to Revelation, okay? Before I close out, I'm getting near. Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Let me tell you something. I hope I got some time. It don't matter if you're rich, poor, you know, intelligent, not so intelligent. No, but no matter your status, your education level, what you have, what you don't have. John said in Revelation, this is John, right? John said, I saw what? The dead, small and great, stand before who? God, the Heavenly Father. And the books, plural, were open. And I told you before, I believe those books. So this is just my thought. I'm quite sure, I don't know exactly what they are. But I believe that, again, that you're going to be judged off for every thought, every word, and every deed. They got to give an account for. Now, they got to give an account for everything that they did evil, because they were not saved. So if they thought something bad, Christ said, well, why'd you think that? Whatever you said, why did you say that? Everything that they did, why did you do that? Who wants that? I've been on this earth long enough to know the things that I've done. We don't even like when we're reprimanded by anyone, whether it's our job or whoever, parents. We don't like that when people just question on one, two things, our spouses, our friends, whatever it is, boyfriend, girlfriend, your husband. Your wife. Nobody likes to be questioned. But you're going to be questioning on everything that you did in your life. You have to give an account for it. You go give an account for it, because you stand before the great judge, which is Christ. Don't think that all that smart saying, all this cute stuff people posting and saying, all this, okay. When you stand, the Bible said his eyes are fiery like a flame. When you see him and his countenance, oh, he ain't going to play. It ain't going to be no games when you stand before him. You can think you're going to be smart and cute when you stand before him, but that's not happening. Watch what the Bible says. It says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And I told you what I believe the works are. And watch this. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the non-believer's reward. Ain't no money. Ain't no intelligence. Ain't no status. Ain't no club member. Ain't none of that going to get you out of this. Mom and daddy, big mama, you got to stand account before the judgment, from the great white throne of judgment. See, we go to the Bema seat. They going through the great white throne of judgment of God. And they're going to stand up before his son and all his angels. Can you imagine that? All of them angels? Now, I don't know if we're going to be there or not, but, you know, man. You know, and I kind of make a little joke. That you know, it's going to be like a trillion-inch HD high-definition screen to display your life before all what you did. Who wants that? It's going to be a high-definition. Well, okay, that's what you did, so now give an account for it. Who wants that? But you're going to have to give an account if you choose to be a non-believer. Not only that, you may look like Thriller when you're there. You know how I remember Michael Jackson and how they were looking like zombies? You ain't going to get no new body. You probably look like Thriller standing before the great throne. Hey, that's going to be embarrassing. I mean, it's just going to be embarrassing you think you're embarrassing. That's going to be embarrassing. And you, like I said, these folks getting smart, you ain't going to do all that. There ain't going to be none of that. Not before him as Heavenly Father, because the Lake of Fire is waiting on you. Get saved. This is my point. This is my mission. This is my call in the ministry, is to save souls and to give people life. This ain't to scare nobody. This is to teach you the truth and what the Bible says. And this stuff is real. I know for a fact the Holy Spirit is real, because he dealt with me for 20 years, and that's how I know that the Spirit of God is real. I know that the Heavenly Father, Christ, is real. I know that his Son is real, and this is not a joke. This is your opportunity right now to receive salvation. Romans 10, 9, and 10, you ain't got to be in front of nobody. Ain't nobody got to pour a whole bottle of olive oil on and slap you across the face or the forehead. And you got to do all that. They don't need you to run across the building and turn flips off a wall. We don't need you to do that. You can go in your room right now and say, I'm saved. You go in your closet and say, I'm saved. Heavenly Father, I accept that. I'm reading Romans 10, 9, and 10. I want to be saved. Accept him today, and he's yours and you are his. Come on back to the Heavenly Father, because he wants you. I want you there. We all want you there. We love you. You know, there's nothing like this life. And if I hadn't known this, I would have done it a long time ago when I was a teenager, when my dad was trying to encourage me instead of waiting until I got in my 20s. You know, this is for you. This is for you. This is for you. And what he has for you is for you. And so with that being said, that's going to close out today's sermon and message. There are so many other scriptures that I want to share with you. But as you know, I can go on forever. I can teach this stuff all day and all night. And so we'll be back next week. We'll get into the introduction of Revelation starting next week, which means that we'll cover some things about John. So you just kind of give you an outline with Revelation. I'm going to get into some scriptures as well about Revelation and things to come. This is very, very important. You don't want to miss this. Definitely tune in next Saturday at 6 p.m., Spiritual Sense Life Radio Podcast. This is Tim, the overseer. I thank you all for your time. I love each and every one of you. Again, next week is going to be the introduction to Revelation, and then going forward, we'll start teaching Revelation. I may also interject, you know, certain things that are important, which means not every single week I'm going to do chapters 1 through 22. I may do some interjecting subjects in between the weeks. Therefore, it's going to still be about Revelation, but there's going to be some things that I believe is relevant to Revelation to give you more knowledge and wisdom about Revelation. And again, things to come. Again, I tell people over the years, a lot of people say they're scared and fearful of Revelation. Revelation is not for believers to be scared and fearful for. In fact, it's a joyous time for us. But to the non-believers, yes, they should be fearful and afraid and scared. They should be. But as to us, it's just not for us. Okay, and so with that being said, I'm about to get out of here. I also just want to let you guys know about a new show that we're going to be doing on Fridays. We just started last night, so hopefully you'll tune in on Friday nights. That's going to be 10 p.m. East Coast time, 9 p.m. Central time, and 7 p.m. West Coast time. It's called Friday Freestyles with me, Tim the Overseer, and Big Tate Entertainment, which is a good friend of mine. We've been knowing each other our whole lives, basically almost back since diapers, so that's a very long time. But he's a really good friend of mine. We've just been friends all these years, and so he has some things he wants to share and some things we want to talk about. I thank Derek Oliver and Chaos Talk Radio for this platform and allowing us to be able to be a voice to the people and to people in our community and people all over the world, not just our community, but mainly to everyone all over the world, especially those who are seeking the truth and looking for salvation. So, again, my computer, I'm laughing because my computer's been down the whole time, which is why I rely on the old school techniques of books and paper and writing. That's why, because my computer went down, that's all I had. I would have been in big trouble. So I had some more information to share, but it's okay. Again, I thank you all for your time. Thank you for listening to Spiritual Sense Life. Again, this is Tim the Overseer. I'm glad. Hopefully something was said to bless you, your soul. Again, this is spiritual food for the soul. I love each and every one of you. I really do from the bottom of my heart. Hey, if those of you are saved, my brothers and sisters in Christ, congratulations. I love you all. I love the non-believers as well, and I hope that you come over to the side and get saved before it's too late. So, again, with that being said, family, bless the kingdom. I love each and every one of y'all. Until next week, y'all be blessed and have a wonderful week. Have a good night. Love you.
are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Jared Oliver. Contra.